We have two readings now that have been read from the two Johns. The first one is from 1 Samuel 30, and the other one from Matthew 11. Together, thank you very much.
Readings 1 Samuel chapter 30, reading from 1 to 20. When Sarah asked me to do the reading, she said, "Oh, by the way, there's some rather difficult words," and she wasn't joking. So I've made a good stab at them. If I've got them wrong, I apologise, but I'll do it to the best of my ability. It's entitled, "David Destroys the Amalekites." David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and all who were in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and the wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no more strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters, but David found strength in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Elimelech, "Bring me the ephod." Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them?" "Pursue them," he answered. "You will certainly overtake them," and succeed in the rescue. David and the 600 men with him came to the Bezor ravine, where some stayed behind, for 200 men were too exhausted to cross the ravine. But David and 400 men continued the pursuit. They found an Egyptian in a field and brought him to David. They gave him water to drink and food to eat, part of a cake of pressed figs and two cakes of raisins. He ate and was revived, for he had not eaten any food or drunk any water for 3 days and three nights. David asked him, "To whom do you belong, and where do you come from?" He said, "I am an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite. My master abandoned me when I became ill 3 days ago. We raided the Negev of the Kerethites and the territory belonging to Judah and the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag." David asked him, "Can you lead me down to this raiding party?" He answered, "Swear to me before God that you will not kill me or hand me over to my master, and I will take you down to them." He led David down, and there they were scattered over the countryside, eating, drinking, and reveling because of the great amount of plunder they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from Judah. David fought them from dusk until the evening of the next day, and none of them got away, except 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken. David brought everything back. He took all the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying, "This is David's plunder." God will add a blessing to the reading of his word.
The New Testament reading is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30, and can be found on page 977 on the Church Bible. And the reading is headed, "The Father Revealed in the Son." At that time Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and reveal them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Thank you.
This is a journey, an encounter that can only be accomplished through personal prayer. And through prayer, listening to God in the stillness of the day and the night. In verse 6 of Samuel 30, it says, David was greatly distressed because his men were talking of stoning him, because their loved ones and families had been taken into exile, their homes had been destroyed and burnt. These men had just come back from a battle that they won, but were exhausted, worn out and tired. And David now says, we can do nothing else but to turn around and go and rescue our people who've gone into captivity. And all these men could think of at the time was to stone King David. How could we go back into battle? And so David, in his weakness, grew strong. How? Through prayer. In verse 8, David inquired of the Lord, what should I do? Pursue them, God answered, and you will soon overtake. You see, when we are at our lowest ebb, God's strength is available for the darkest hours of our life that we may encounter. Through prayer, consult God and wait on him for an answer. Whenever I have been asked in my ministry over the years, what is the most valuable asset a minister of the church can have, I'd give them three answers. The first one is prayer. The second one is prayer. And the third one is prayer. A minister that doesn't come to prayer, a minister who isn't at prayer, would never survive ministry. Without prayer, a minister just doesn't flourish. Without prayer, King David would never have become the king that he was. And he realized the importance of prayer, because he was a man of prayer. That's why he was the most successful king in biblical times, if not the most successful king of all times. Because his kingship and his leadership was based on prayer, having had that personal relationship with God. And the only way you and I can have a personal relationship with God in Jesus Christ today is to talk to him, and to talk to him through prayer. So back to David. David and his 600 men at arms arrive at Ziklag, only to find his arch enemy, the Amalekites, have raided Ziklag. Excuse me. Burned and plundered and taken captive the women who were both young and old and everyone. They killed none of them, but carried them off and went on their way. the absence of David while he was at war gave the Amalekites the opportunity to bring revenge upon David. In his distress, David found strength in the Lord when God answered him, "Pursue them and succeed in the rescue." There are times in our own personal lives when we just feel overcome. We can't take any more. Overcome by bereavement, overcome by loss, physical and spiritual tiredness. It can be anything you think of, and all of a sudden at the end, it's just too much. I can't take any more. And there's only one thing left to us to do, as David did, and to turn to the Lord and inquire, "How do I do this now, Lord? How do I overcome? Speak to me and show me the way." When we come into the Lord in our hour of prayer, we need to ask the Lord in the areas of our daily lives, where are we out of kilter with him? Where are we out of rhythm with him? Where are we at this moment in time preventing us from having a clear answer from God when we inquire but don't have time for ourselves and don't have time for him? Let me share something with Luke 10. Luke chapter 10. The home of Martha and Mary. Jesus, we know, had a circuit ministry. And he would circuit round Lake Galilee. And then every few weeks on the circuit, he would arrive in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a place he hated, a place he wasn't comfortable in, a place he was never at rest in. But Jesus found a family, the home of Martha and Mary, who lived in a little village called Bethany, about 3 miles from Jerusalem. So at the end of each day he was in Jerusalem ministering, he and his disciples would walk down the footpath through the Garden of Gethsemane onto Beth. And there he would have fellowship with them, and there they would be fed and a place to rest his weary head on. But at this same such time, it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her house to him, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at his feet listening to what Jesus said. But Martha was disturbed by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from you." Martha, you see, in all her goodness, had allowed herself to get out of rhythm of life due to the workload and schedule that she put upon herself, nobody else. And we all have a lesson to learn, that all of us need to take time out. And all of us need to ask ourselves, are you a Mary or a Martha? Are you a Mary or a Martha? Are you a Mary or a Martha? And only you can answer that, of course. Are your lives so busy, busy, busy that you haven't got time to sit down like Mary did to listen to what God is saying? Or are you a Mary that deliberately takes time out in spite of the workload and just listen and inquire of what he is saying to you? What a lesson to learn. Matthew 11. Come to me who are all weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If we do feel these burdens and recognise our failures, there's an invitation that goes out. Come to me. Come to me. My door is open. It's not locked. You're free to come to my door, and you're free to take up my yoke and let me minister to you and carry your burdens. Why do we struggle unnecessarily? We only have ourselves to blame. Let's go back to David. David and his 600 men come to Brook Besor, the Besor Ravine, where some stayed behind in verse 10, for 200 men were too exhausted to cross the ravine. But David and his 400 men continued the pursuit. Just let your imagination run away with you for a moment. Transfer yourselves back to this army of 600 men. They've just fought and won a battle. They are battle-scarred. They are injured. They are weary. They are totally exhausted. They've lost their wives and their families. Their homes have been burnt down. And they are now immediately expected to fight another battle. Just imagine the anguish. Just imagine the despair. I can't put another foot forward. As much as I love my wife or my father or my children, I actually can't fight for them. I don't have a fight left in me. And one third of David's army, 200 men, can't do it, David. Can't do it, Your Majesty. Just imagine the other 400 men. Well, some of us have got to go. Some of us have got to have strength to continue. And David gives them permission. He gives 200 men permission to step out, to rest up, and take time out at Brook Bissell. And I and the 400 that left will go forward and rescue our loved ones and come back and meet you. Just imagine the relief of those 200 men. Just imagine taking off their sandals and their boots and feeling the softness of the grass and the dampness on the tired, aching soles of their feet. The sound of that river running through Brook Besor. The warmth of the sun on their cheeks and the gentle breeze blowing. This must have felt like heaven itself. And they've been given permission to absorb all this and to drink from it. And I can imagine just these 200 men going into that brook, fully clothed, and just bathing in it and allowing the water to heal their hidden wounds, their aching bodies, while the other 400 men continue. These 200 men hadn't got a prayer left in them. They can't even pray. But that didn't matter, because what was important for these 200 men, that they had been given permission to stay there. So you have arrived here at Brook Besor. You don't have another prayer left in you either. You don't even know how to pray. You're not even sure if God's listening to you, because you don't feel your prayers are being answered. But just feel relaxed and let God minister to you through the sunshine, through the breeze, and through the waters of Brook Besor. Listen to Brook Besor running past you. Look at the reeds swaying in the bank. Look at the footprints. These aren't your footprints. They are the footprints of Jesus carrying you. Carrying you through the brook. It doesn't matter that you can't pray. Jesus is your prayer right now. He is praying for you. All you have to do is allow him to pray for you, to minister to you, and heal your hidden wounds. But just realize how these 200 men must have felt. Emptied and exhausted. But in their own exhaustion, they now become strong. Strong spiritually, strong physically. And they now got back into the rhythm of life. These 200 men, I believe, although it doesn't say it in that word, were anointed by God, and God had arranged for them to take time out and to rest up. Why do I say that? Well, as David now returns, he returns with all the loved ones, but he returns now with a broken army, an exhausted army, an army that is no longer, but really just a rabble of men. They have nothing left to give. They could barely put one foot in front of the other. They are so tired, they can barely make it back to where their home was. But it's now, you see, down to these 200 men at Brook Besor to take over with a renewed strength. These 200 men now become the mainstay of David's army. And they are there now to rebuild, to re-energize, and to help these broken soldiers, their broken families, and help them to rebuild, to put their lives back together. These 200 men now become the epicenter of all that David needs now. Without these 200 men, David is nothing. There are times when we need to recognize and to understand, no matter how difficult it might be for us, that we need to be honest with ourselves sometimes to say, I can't do this anymore. I've done it for too long. I need a sabbatical. I need a break. I just need to take time out. But if I do, I'm going to let people down. But who's going to take my place? Well, maybe that's just what you need to do. Because there's somebody waiting to step into your place, but can't, because they're waiting for you to step down and to step out. May we learn a valuable lesson from this morning's word about Brook Bissell and help us to understand that there is a Brook Bissell today for us, and that Brook Bissell can be anywhere. It can be in the Welsh Hills, it can be in the Lake District, in Scotland, it can be on your favourite beach, it can be in a particular part of your garden, the place where you can be on your own and call it your Brook Bissell and let God minister to you, share what you need to share with him and enable yourself to get back into a rhythm of life and allow that inner healing to take place that can only come and can only happen through prayer and prayer only, by taking time out and being restored in Jesus' name.